basketball fans. Welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris. And we're here to talk some good old-fashioned college basketball. Now, obviously, we had a really interesting weekend. We will do a little recapping from last week as well. Texas Tech had a really good win over Oklahoma down the stretch. Jameer Nelson Jr. went off, triple overtime for Baylor. Pretty crazy there. You know, Zona got caught looking ahead, but they ended up getting the job done at Oregon anyway. Auburn had a tough week. My co-hosts, Tar Heels got a nice dub on the road. Duke and Kentucky rallied. BYU had a really tough schedule this week, managed to fend off Texas. We'll get into all the recap. And then this week and weekend, Houston's got a big week. They're at Texas. And then they got to go at Kansas. So we're going to find out a lot about them. But if you look at, like I said, during the week, there's some matchups we'll definitely talk about. But, man, Saturday, it feels like the whole top 10 is facing off against each other. Should be really interesting. Some of the top two teams or top four teams when it comes to, these conferences. So, yeah, we'll definitely start with recap. We'll preview next week and kind of give you the conference whip around per usual. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope It Open, download the show there directly. You can find this here College Ball Show under Ropeadope Radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Google Podcasts. Make sure you download the podcast app. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com at Sports News 24. One more thing about DirecTV Stream, the leader in sports on Sunday and every other day. DirecTV Sports Central gives fans access to every pro football playoff game you can stream and all in one convenient place. Now, we all know there's only one left, though, so this is a little outdated. But get the best in streaming TV, stream live sports, on-demand shows, and must-have channels you need anytime, anywhere across your favorite devices. For a limited time, we're talking about the Choice Package. You can get it for $83.99 a month for the first 2 months. Save $50 with that Choice Package. DirecTV Stream. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. First and foremost, how are you doing, sir? And like I said, man, we had a heck of a weekend, and that Saturday is just jam-packed with ranked versus ranked versus ranked. And like I said, most of it's like in the top 11 or 12.
Yeah, so this Saturday I'm supposed to turn in my leased car and get another one. But from looking at the schedule of games, I might have to do that now Thursday. Like, that was not the plan, but Thursday may need to be lease my new car Thursday so I can be good to go Saturday. Because Saturday, I don't want to spend a couple hours at dealership. Or maybe do it out on our dealerships open on Sunday. That's a double question. Are they?
I believe so, yeah. I'm pretty
sure. Oh, okay. Well, there's nothing.
Now, that's in the South, so maybe, the Bible says something about dealerships not being in. No, I'm just playing. No, it should be, because usually they'll have those, big sales all weekend and stuff.
Oh, okay, cool. But, yeah, this Saturday I need to book time to watch college basketball. I was just telling you before the show, my high school coaching basketball life keeps me busy on weekends. But this Saturday, obviously Carolina at Duke at 5:30 Saturday, I never miss that game. Barring a Noah's Ark flood. So I'm looking forward to it. This should be a very fun week of college basketball. And like you said, it was a good week this past week. And I think this week, just from a matchup meter, I think we're going to be even more spoiled this year. This week, Chris, we have a lot of highly contested top 25 versus top 25 matchups, which is always fun to discuss.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, your squad 75-68 at Florida State, which, yeah, maybe they're not as good as they were in the last maybe 2 years or whatever, but still, we always talk about road wins and how, hard they are to come by. That was a nice win. Houston really blew out Kansas State at home. Kentucky got down against Arkansas really, really early. They end up storming back. Then got down a little bit because, you know, when you make your run back, generally the other team's going to make another run, and they did, but then Kentucky ended up closing that out to an Arkansas team that's struggling mighty, 63-57. Iowa State, though, 79-75, big, big, big win against Kansas home court once again. But Auburn, man, Auburn, whew, they had a rough one this week. Bama beats them at home for Bama, and then they go on the road against Mississippi State, and they can't get that one either, 64-58. Illinois keeps rolling. They beat Indiana on Saturday. Like I said, that Texas Tech-Oklahoma game, two free throws with, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds left, really put that away. It made it 85-84 or 85-81. They hit a three late, but in the end, it didn't really matter. It didn't look good for the Dukies either against Clemson, but they managed to get it done. I saw, you know, some clips on Twitter about the last thing, and was that a fall or not a fall? I think that was a pretty easy thing to call. You know, Marsha, we talked about Seton Hall and how, you know, in the first show of the year that we had about, man, they're on top. And next thing you know, man, they've had a rough stretch. They've lost, I think, three in a row. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to talk about from Saturday. Utah State on the road in overtime at Boise State. That's a pretty good team. They're really getting their stuff together. And Colorado State, who's been really solid, another overtime matchup, Wyoming, not football, basketball. Wyoming beats Colorado State 79-76. A lot of up and down and all around this Saturday, man.
I was just listening to a gambling podcast about college basketball, and I guess those people had bet Colorado State. They were up 11 points with, like, 93 seconds to go in that game.
Yeah.
So, if you're up 11 with under 2 minutes, that's high school, college, pro. That's got to be a must win. Like, that's tough to swallow. If you blow a double-digit lead with under 2 minutes, that's not how basketball's supposed to be played. But that's why sometimes you got to – got to drag out the game. Like, you know, sometimes it gets a little tedious during college basketball where it's like, dude, why are you felt like you're down seven? Like, but sometimes though, Chris, this is a perfect example of, you know, even if it is 1 out of 50, that one win for your team for the season can be huge. So you do start fouling with 10 or, you know, down 10, down 12, but keep doing. And sometimes you get a little momentum. And next thing you know, you win a game you're not supposed to win. So, yeah, that was tough. Also, I see in that same box score area, BYU beat Texas. A group of like 10 BYU kids who were sitting front row had shirts that said horns down. Each kid had a letter. And
well, you knew that was coming.
They were asked to remove their shirts after like the first TV timeout. How soft have we become as a there's a difference of like swearing, being racist, being over the top, but you're making
plenty of things that you could say, hey, dude, you can't fucking do that, you know?
But
that's not one of them.
No, I know. Wearing horns down shirts, and they had to remove their horns. And mind you, this game was at BYU. There was no middle fingers. Like, come on. In the SEC, I'll tell you this. They ain't taking out their horns down shirts. If they do, they'll have it spray painted on their chest by the second half. So.
Oh, and so Texas fans have never trolled anybody or never done anything. They don't believe in that?
I guess they must only do golf claps, and they must be very polite in Austin.
That's on BYU, dude. That's nonsense.
Take off your horns down shirts. Come on. Like, it's still okay to be a college kid and just have some fun with, and again, it's not even disrespectful, but I digress. You know, I will give you props, brother. You did say Illinois won, which they did later in the week, but earlier in the week, you called this on last week's podcast, which if I wasn't so busy, I would have bet it. Illinois went to Northwestern. You said Northwestern's been a very scrappy team this year. Northwestern won at home against Illinois. So Illinois did beat Indiana, which is a good win, but Northwestern, a sneaky team. They're normally pretty much always a bubble team each year. They're off to a great start in the Big Ten this year so far. So Northwestern, hats off for that win. And you're right, Kentucky, You had an upset win earlier in the weekend, South Carolina, which probably wasn't expected.
Yeah.
You were back and forth with Arkansas, and they kind of pulled away. You could just tell they were a better shooting team. I watched that game than Arkansas was. Arkansas had a lot of kind of like unforced turnovers, but if you're Kentucky, hey, you still have a single-digit ranking next to you, and there are those stretches. Like we said last week, you're going to have multiple road games in some weeks, and no matter what the team's record is, especially if you're a ranked team, road games in season, when you're a ranked team on the road, it's just tough. Because you know you're getting that best team's punch, and in college basketball, a lot of arenas have full capacity. The kids are going to be out there wearing shirts or not, you know, with signs or whatever. It's always a tough environment. And to lose to South Carolina and bounce back, that was a nice kind of gritty win. Yes, Arkansas's record looks like trash, Chris, but, you know, he recruits the people. The talent's there. They just haven't been playing quite as a team this year.
Yeah, speaking of BYU, now we may, you know, not agree with the powers that be that made these kids take the shirt off, but if you look at the last four games, you know, like Iowa State, Texas Tech, Houston, Texas, that's a tough stretch right there. They're 2-2 in that stretch. They bookended. They started with a win at home at Iowa State, lost competitive games at Texas Tech, and then home to Houston, for Christ's sakes, but then come right back and beat Texas. So BYU has kind of been one of those kind of under the radar in a sense, not like, oh, dude, they're making a run, but like, you know, we're talking about teams that transferred over, right, into a new conference, and it's not like they're just stepping into, you know, some random little conference here. You know, they're stepping into the best conference. So I'm pretty impressed by that. Speaking of Houston, you know, we talk about back-to-back losses. They lost at Iowa State and at TCU, and now they've strung four in a row. Texas Tech, they really walloped them. Central Florida, who's been pretty decent this year, BYU, I just mentioned them, and then got that win, a strong win at home, 74-52. So they kind of got back on, you know, you could say the good foot. Speaking of the comebacks, Florida was up like 21 points with like a little over 10 minutes, maybe 11 or 12 minutes, and it was tied under a minute. Now, they did pull it off, and John Reinstein has this stat here. I love these stats. Florida is now 10-1 this season in games where Will Richards scores double figures. An important week for the Gators, who won both of their home games and are now 4-6 in position to be in position. Kind of interesting. But, yeah, that was looking like they were going to, you know, mess it up. And then we talked about Arizona. They got the job done, no doubt. But they looked ahead. They looked ahead. They lost to Oregon State at the buzzer, 83-80. They started out 8-0. Now they're 6-5, so they still – got a nice win, definitely got a nice win, but they still got some stuff to figure out, my friend.
With Arizona, I don't know if it's the coach. Like, there's and I'll let you know. My favorite teams this year to watch and cheer for are like for just from obviously aside from Carolina is like Arizona, FAU, and Houston. Obviously, they're all different, but for Arizona. If you watch them play last year, watch play this year, the amount of offensive talent they have is high level. It's maybe one of the best in the country just from, like, a personal player. Like, damn, that he can play. And they have three bigs who are all over 7 foot. They all handle the ball. Like, when you watch them play, they're like, dude, how does this team lose? But I really think it comes down to, yes, you're a loaded offensive team, but you still got to play as a team. And defensively, how good are you? Like, defensively, they start off the year strong, but that is still my weakness for them. And I get that realistically, Chris, like, you ain't going to have the Golden State Warriors or, like, you know, these elite NBA teams because a lot of college kids are either very stout defensively or very stout offensively. And obviously, a lot of times, the defensive IQ grows in the player as they go up to higher levels. So I get you're asking for a lot, but, man, that team, they're just strange. Like, on given nights, they can drop 90. And they look like they're world beaters, but then, like you said, they slip up against Oregon State, who had only two conference wins before that. Or you slip up against Wazoo. So they're a hard team to put your finger on. I still think they'll make a March run, but Last year, they faded away at around March time, and this year they've had some losses to the bottom tier of the Pac-12. So it's a hard team to describe, but they can score points. They just don't always like to play defense. They're weird, man. They're weird.
And, you know, there's not a bunch of quad one wins available in that conference.
True.
So
no,
that's going to mess up your seeding as well, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting because that there are such a thing as bad losses too. Now, it's not, you know, as highly scrutinated as like a, you know, scrutinized. I don't know what the fuck I just said. Scrutinized as scrutinized. I got to put this thing down. It doesn't have any liquor on it. I got to check to make sure there's no liquor on it.
Or maybe pour more.
Yeah, that could be. obviously if it's one, you know, if you're comparing a team that has, you know, one loss, that's going to be way more because you have more games and stuff. But yeah, man, that stuff doesn't, you know, doesn't help you. That's for sure. Come March and Selection Sunday. Now, just real quick from last week, on a Tuesday, we talked about how Houston got the job done on the road. Kentucky did get beat handedly too, 79-62. That place was going nuts. Wisconsin Badgers found a way, and the kid on the free throw line was from Lakeville, Minnesota, for Christ's sake, some place that I think you're pretty familiar with. But that's why, you know, you're in Texas, right?
Shots fired.
You know, the border wall. I'm starting to come around on this, okay? I'm starting to come around on this. Let's get rid of the bridge, all the bridges, and just put up a big wall, dude. So if you can make it past the river, come on over. But other than that, I'm starting to come around on the other way. These damn Minnesota kids going to Wisconsin. But they get the job done per usual, 61-59 that night. Texas got a – you know, Oklahoma had been looking really good, highly ranked and all that. They beat them up pretty good that night. And that was last, you know, on Tuesday. Then we mentioned on Wednesday, Bama beating Auburn. That's a big win. In overtime, like you mentioned, 96-91, Northwestern got the job done, dude. They've always been scrappy, right? Like, you know, and you said they've been bubble cheap. But this year, they got a player, right, who could really do it. And it just they just feel a little different this year. I'm not calling for a Sweet 16. And by the way, I've yet to hear a Final Four pick. It's our fourth show or third show. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying. I'm not being a dick or anything. But Colorado State had a rough one. They lost to Nevada, too. No disrespect to Nevada, who got their ass whipped by New Mexico. New Mexico's really starting to pour it on. It's like kind of going reverse, you know? Last year they had this great start, then fell apart. This year, kind of mediocre at times, right? And then now they're really doing their thing. But what else was – oh, the you know, Michigan State was battling with Wisconsin on Friday, but it just didn't matter, man. It was at home and whatnot, but it felt like they could maybe make some noise there. We talked about that's a key thing for, you know, key win that would they could get right there for Michigan State, and it didn't happen, my friend.
Yeah, you know, Sparty is just you summed it up perfectly. You did. Well, I will say this, Chris. You want me to? I always make my predictions for the Final Four. I'm gonna.
You don't have to. You don't have to. I'm just saying. Usually we get at least two of them by now.
Well, I'm just gonna. I normally always pick
have you learned
team.
Your lesson? Is that what
no.
it is?
I'm gonna give my four teams. I think I have a chance to make the Final Four because normally whenever I say this, the team will always like. They're always hot around this time of the year, then they fade away in March. But
you're
I'm going all four. I don't
oh
care
my
this year.
Goodness. I was calling you out, and you were just saving it up.
All right. So this year I'm taking my Tar Heels. I'm taking FAU because I love John L. Davis. I'm taking Houston because I love Houston. Yep. And actually my – who do I got? Oh, and okay, so that's my three. Now, I do love Wade Taylor. He's probably my favorite guy to watch here in college basketball, but he has no help in Texas A&M, so I'm not going to pick them for Final Four. But so far I got
– He is a damn good player, though.
I love him. So I got FAU, Houston. Oh, no, no, you know, Houston, Carolina, and Arizona. My, yeah, the okay. Wildcats. Those are my four. Hopefully, I just want one, Chris, just one.
So, the Tar Heels?
Yes.
A wild, you got a wild card. Got a, I'd say it's a pretty big wild card. Not North Carolina, but FAU, right?
Yep.
And then Houston and Zona.
Yeah, so that's all a little right. chalky. But in college basketball, it's not really chalk because, as you know, like, if you make it to March Madness, you have a chance for the Final Four. Not,
yeah, because Zona's not going to be a number one seed or number two seed at this rate.
No, and
they're definitely not going to be one, but
no,
maybe not even two or three at this rate right now.
Yeah, so and Houston and Carolina, like, they have the pedigree, but again, in college basketball, like,
yeah,
if you said, hey, pick your Final Four for college football, okay, well, I'll take Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, and Michigan. Like, okay, you know, okay, that could be it. But in college basketball, right. a Sweet 16 is one thing, but Final Four, that's a whole different beast. So, yeah, those are my four for now.
And we've seen many of great teams crash and burn, my friend.
I know. But you asked for it, I gave you four, and let's see how the cookies crumble.
Well, you found a way to shut me up. I didn't think it was possible, but you did. I'm asking for one. He drops four on me, dude. That's impressive. I got to give you that. I don't know how smart it was, but I got to give you that. I thought you were appreciate maybe it. Like, you know what? I'm going to hold off for a little bit. Let me get another couple weeks. Nope, ready. I'm ready. That's one of the many things that I love about you, buddy. Let's start with our whip around and start to preview next week, meaningful games inside these conferences. We'll start with the mighty, mighty Big 12, which is going to be – what is it going to be? They're adding four, adding two. So, yeah, it's going to be – it's still going to be huge next year because they're actually adding two more based off losing two.
Oh, one of my Final Four picks, Arizona, is going to be there next year.
Oh, man.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So Texas Tech, man, looking freaking good, sitting that top 5-1. Iowa State's gotten some pretty damn big wins. Houston's right there. Kentucky now 4-3. A bunch of teams with three losses, four of them, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 of them, and then a bunch of 3-4s. But you still look at this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 ranked teams, and you know Oklahoma was looking pretty damn good there for a second. They're sitting at 3-4. Texas, still a pretty decent squad there. Kansas State is 4-3. They're not ranked. I mean, I know it sounds like a broken record, but, dude. And then look at the home records down the way. Like, that tells you a lot, too, when we talk about, you know, home and away and how tough it is in college basketball, my friend. I mean, this thing is living up to it, this conference, man.
So I just counted it up. The top 12 teams are now on the Big 12. No one has more than three home losses on their resume. So UCF, who is like the 11th or 12th team in the Big 12, they're 9-3 at home. Everyone else above them only has two losses or less. So that, again, even.
Yeah, haven't lost. Three have only won. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes, I do realize that. I do say all the time it's hard to win on the road in college basketball. But if you're a scrub team, you can easily have 4-5 losses. Like, for example, West Virginia this year, 7-5 at home. Or Oklahoma State, 8-5. Like, that's, you know, that's not embarrassing. Like, you still have a 500 record. But
you see who they played.
Yeah, the fact that, Texas Tech, no home losses. Iowa State's undefeated at home. So is Houston. So is KU. TCU, one home loss. K-State, one home loss. Baylor, one home loss. Like, oh, my God. The top seven teams in the Big 12 don't. Maybe that's what I should do. Just bet Big 12 home teams every game. But, and it sounds kind of goofy and silly, but it's true. And then you kind of, that's kind of what leads to a cluster in the conference, because if no teams win and every team's going to play evenly and matched home and away games, like, you're going to defend your home turf. You're going to go on the road for a gauntlet contest, and you probably are going to lose there. So, yes, Chris, it's crazy. I think BYU is surprising people a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that I would say I'm a little pro-Houston with them being my pick. I enjoy watching them play. maybe it would be for teams like BYU and Houston. Maybe you're now that you're in a more difficult conference, could that challenge you as the year goes on? Possibly.
Sure. I
mean, last year it was kind of like Houston, Memphis kind of always getting it out. BYU wasn't in clearly a conference that matches the Big 12.
Right.
But on one hand though, brother, like you're still like both having good years. You're both ranked. Like you have the players that, and you have the talent. Like, sure, you're in a more difficult conference, but I don't think Houston's, like, a joke of a team. Like, you have made some, like, deep Final Four, Elite Eight runs.
And they're not used to seeing them every year either.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So
there's
the things
that you craft up to be true. Like, all right, we're good at this. Like, you could tell your team one thing, but if you haven't, you know, gone over it and had some confidence with it and actually done it in a game or whatever, certain items, that could play into it too, at least for the first year.
And it's just crazy to see that KU has three losses. They're 4-3.
Yeah.
But yet they're still ranked 8th in the country. Because normally it's always KU's up top. Who's going to catch them? Well, shit, KU might be 4-4 with their next game. But when you have a single digit right next to you, clearly your losses are very respectable. So, yes, this is a very fun competitive conference. As we talked about last week, K-State's having a really nice year, and they're not even ranked. And they're 10-1 at home. So
remember we talked about Central Florida and West Virginia? That's the two road games that were Kansas loss in there.
They're bottom of the barrel for the Big 12. See, the Big 12, we could probably do a full podcast show on this conference. Texas Tech, again, not many people picked you to be leading this conference so far, yet you are. And Iowa State, you were really solid for like the last like 10 years, and you had kind of a two-year hiatus where you fell apart. And now you're back up top. So, damn, like, and that place, if you've never watched an Iowa State home game, they kind of have a really small arena. It's kind of just, it's got good vibes.
It's got the walk-in high school vibe to it.
Yeah, and you can tell because they're 13-0 at home. Like, Iowa State, Cyclones, Ames games, Ames-Iowa, they've had some special teams there, so that's a tricky place. So, hey, I'm sure, Chris, as this year goes on, maybe they won't have 8 teams ranked, but they're probably going to consistently have 5 or 6. Yes, and I know you got to beat each other up, but those teams are going to defend their home turf. And again, when you lose to a team who's ranked in the top 20, they really don't drop you that much. Like, yes, it's a loss, but is it a bad loss? No. You played a team who's maybe inside the top 10. Okay, you took a loss, but that's not going to like demote your schedule. So it's a lot of fun. Kansas, hey, for once, you don't got any more free passes. For when we started doing this podcast years ago, is always like, man, can someone beat Kansas to ever win the freaking Big 12? Now it's like, dude, now you got some teams. You got more coming next year. Like, yes, Kansas could be the best team in the Big 12 this year. That's not an outlandish thing to say. But you got teams that are going to press you, like Houston, Iowa State, Texas Tech is on a joyride, Baylor. Like, you know, it's no longer KU and everyone else. It's now KU plus. You got a lot of friends up top in the Big 12 with you.
Yeah, the last few years we saw it, and, you know, Baylor won a chip out of that and whatnot. Houston yep. at Texas, we talked about it, and then Houston at Kansas. They have by far the Ooh. Hardest week. Tuesday, Texas Tech at TCU, Oklahoma at K-State. Those are some of the big matchups when it comes to maneuvering. I mean, you could Houston could really make some hay by getting those two road wins, but they got to at least get one of them.
True.
You know, that would help there, and that's going to tip here at 8 o'clock Central. So that'll be big. And like I said, you know, Texas Tech at TCU, that hasn't been the easiest place to do it either. Let's flip on over to the ACC, my friend.
In the ACC, you know, there's that school that rocks Carolina blue, the color of the sky. Some may say God invented that color. But anyways, the Tar Heels are up top.
10 in a row.
I don't want to jinx it. They're playing good basketball. I'll just say that. Somehow, a couple of the guys who were on that team 2 years ago when they played KU in the championship are still there. I do feel that this is definitely a COVID year helping them out. They've not started this good to a season. It's been a minute. I don't even think the 09 team, maybe one of the best teams ever for college basketball. They didn't start 9-0. So, hey, off to a good start. Again, you have veterans. You definitely have some freshman guards this year who are stepping up to a higher role. But one of the biggest things, they have Baycott. Baycott's one of the best bigs in the country. And I know as you look as like pro basketball has evolved and college basketball has evolved two to threes, 3-point shots being shot a lot. When you have a solid big though, that still makes everything so much easier. And Baycott's one of those guys where I don't know what he's going to be like in the pros, but for the college game, he's pretty much a guaranteed double-double. He's always just had the strong hands on the feet, and you have a guard in R.J. Davis, who, again, was on that runner-up team 2 years ago. So you have the nice combination of a veteran team, let's see, with younger stars, and a coach who's walked into a very talented roster, but clearly he's been doing an okay job. Like, I obviously didn't know what to expect when Roy Williams left, and Hubert Davis, I think, has obviously done very good so far. And he hasn't screwed it up yet. And right behind them, who they'll be playing each other Saturday, Duke and Carolina. Duke is in second place, alone at 6-2, a half game up on Virginia. This Duke team, again, is they've had definitely a bit of a younger team. This is not quite the same team that played Carolina a handful of years ago. That Duke team that played him in the Final Four a few years ago had some guys who've gone pro or who were older classmen. So I think that Duke team is developing. And as usual, again, I'm surprised they're not ranked yet, Chris. I guess that's because the Big 12 is using up all the ranking chips. But Virginia is a 6-3. FSU is 6-3.
They're just chipping away. Just chipping away.
That ranking's coming. Hey, for Leonard Hamilton, you start the year a bit sluggish, as your 12-8 overall record indicates. But you're 6-3 in conference. You're pretty much tied for second place. I mean, a second to third place mesh. And they're having a nice year. They're turning upwards. You could be a lot lower in this conference. So Carolina, Duke, Virginia, FSU, and then kind of goes into a huge car jam of Wake, Syracuse, Miami, Vatech, NC State, and then Clemson's dripped down a little bit after they were ranked earlier.
Miami's got to get their stuff together.
It's with these conferences growing bigger for football, with basketball too, it's like, damn, you know, you look at these conferences and yeah, on a given week, Chris, you can go from being third place down to ninth because they're so – I like the parity, but like you said, for Houston this week, you can't lose two games in a row because you could drop down 7-8 spots. Again, if you're Miami this week, if you lose two, you can now be in the bottom – like you could be 13th.
But if you win three in a row, boom, you're right back up.
Yeah, so the parity is fun, but damn, it really makes those losses. If you have a negative week where you lose two games in a row – now you're looking up in a lot of teams all of a sudden, brother.
Kind of like the parity and the size of a certain conference that I remember that was structured a little bit differently called the Big East. We'll get that in a second. Saturday will be the 49th time Duke and North Kakalaka have met when both of them are ranked in the AP top 10. Not only is that 35 more than any other matchup, but the rivalry split the previous 48 with an average score of 76.8 to 76. Both have 24 wins, and North Carolina has that 0.8 on them. You talk about even matchups, we talk about, you know, great matchups and great rivalries and in college basketball, there's nothing that can compare to this one. And obviously that's going to be on Saturday. Big, big game because Duke definitely needs that. It's at Duke, correct?
It is at it's in Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Huh. So we'll finish the year at Duke.
Okay. Okay. Well then that's going to be much tougher. I wrote it down wrong. So let's get to the Big East. Obviously, UConn at St. John's is a big, big Saturday matchup in that conference. Talked about how Seton Hall sitting up there with only one win. They've lost three in a row now. It's not looking good. St. John's is kind of in between. Georgetown and Providence got it going. I mean, that crowd, they were pumped for that game. Providence ended up getting the dub. They're now above 500 at 5-4. But, Marquette and Creighton are kind of settling in a little bit. They've been playing good at home. UConn's up to 8 wins in a row, but Marquette 4 in a row and Creighton, 3 in a row wins.
Yeah, for Marquette, again, they're a good team. They just can't shoot the threes normally that well. Now, obviously, look at their record. Hey, they're 10-1. They're ranked ninth. But if you've watched their losses, they go ice cold and it gets cold, cold. And the other part about them is, like, everyone loves their point guard, Kolick. It's just he's a really kind of a pass-first point guard to me. And a lot of times in college basketball, like, your point guard normally is a scorer first. So it's kind of weird to see and he's a good player. But when he's a pass-first point guard, his teammates can't shoot threes. So they're just an interesting team. But, again, I can't talk too much bad stuff because I do like Shock as a coach and their record's good. It's just they got to work on their outside shooting or figure something out. Creighton, man, they've been solid for like the past 4 to 5 years. Every year they seem to change players. Every year they seem to be really good. And obviously, as I said a few minutes ago, that having Baycott as a big for Carolina helps them. That Kalkbrenner for Creighton, again, a kind of a different guy than Baycott. He's more of a taller, skinnier guy. He's not super physical, but he's super tall and he handles the ball well and has those little hook shots. And not many people can guard him, kind of like Edie with Purdue. Kalkbrenner has that same, like, dude, I'm taller than you. I'm going to do little hook shots. And he's also good at covering the paint, blocking it. So they've been playing good ball. You mentioned St. John's. I think that Rick Pitino is getting the people he wants. And obviously, I think he's going to do a great job there. But this is year one. I don't think expectations are for St. John's to make the Sweet 16. Like last year, they had like an average year, but give him maybe a couple years to get some recruits in. And like Pitino, aside from maybe what he does off the court, that guy's really been a really good basketball coach. So in 2 years, I think St. John's could be really fighting for a Big East conference. I think they're maybe a bit away from it now, especially considering UConn. Hey, we said it last week. I said it the week before as well. They lost a couple of people, but those they brought in to replace those they lost are really good. And you can tell that because they're 18-2. They're on an 8-game winning streak. They're undefeated at home. And there's no slip up. There's no hangover effect. It's like, oh, we're the champions. We're going to kind of coast this year, or we're not going to be able to replace our people. Chris, they're replacing it. And obviously, I'm not the Big East. No conference probably matches the Big 12 this year, which is a fair statement to make. But the Big East is probably a top-tier conference, and you're still running through that, like, pretty easily so far. So I shouldn't say easily, but they're taking care of business. So until someone knocks them down a couple of pegs, this is a team that should be making a nice run again. And part of it's the coaching. Like, you were able to bring in new people and make a mesh with the team, and that hasn't missed a beat yet. So hats off to UConn. To be 8-1, that's a hell of a start. But as usual, if you defend your home court in college basketball, that keeps you up in the rankings. Even the best teams, Chris, are going to have normally 3 to 4 losses on the road each year. But if you can stand a feet on your home turf, that makes your March Madness seed normally always really nice.
So a double Pitino take. One, I forgot to mention it when we were talking about the ACC. Bring the strippers back. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Bring them back. Bring them back. Okay? This is getting ridiculous. Okay? And then, two, when you talk about expectations, did you hear what he said about, I feel like when we lose, I feel like committing suicide?
No.
Did you hear that quote? No. Oh, my goodness. Jesus. Gracious. Like,
man.
Yeah. Sounds like nothing can match expectations of him, I guess. And, of course, that's what, many great players and coaches and, people have, they set the standards high. Yeah. But, golly. But, yeah, man, like I said, bring the strippers back. This is getting out of hand now. We need Louisville.
Louisville might be a D2 team next year, Chris.
We need them to be good. That's a great stadium, great fans, everything.
Butler and
Providence has made some strides of late. Both of them won 3 in a row. Providence at UConn and then Nova. They got to go 1-1, but, man, I don't see them winning, at UConn. But, that's a tough schedule there. Obviously, Nova is not their normal Nova, but it's still Nova, for Christ's sakes. True. They're not Louisville. Let's put it that way. Big Ten, right? Bring the strippers. I'm going to get a So, wait a second. If they have
I got the magical 12. You have bring the strippers back. Those are going to be our shirts for the show.
Now, wait a second. Yeah, speaking of T-shirts, now if Louisville fans started wearing those T-shirts, you think they'd take them away? bring the strippers back. This is getting out of hand, guys. Do you want a better gate at your games and charge more for your tickets? Then bring them back, for Christ's sakes, man. NIL, just pay them NIL. Okay, I'll stop. All right, so Wisconsin got by, dude. They got by. That's how they do it. They grind it out. They're on a three-game winning streak, 8-1 on the tippy top of the conference. Purdue, Illinois, there's that Northwestern we talked about. Maryland's kind of sneaky hanging around. They've won 2 in a row, too. Nebraska, you know, crafty. They got a good player, no doubt about that. And by the way, Wisconsin at Nebraska before the Sunday game with Purdue coming in to Wisconsin. Ooh. So watch out for that one. Remember the Northwestern? Watch out for that one. And Purdue against Northwestern, okay? So watch out for these games before you go ahead and look on Sunday when there's no football. Well, they'll be playing flag football. By the way, I like that setup better than what we were getting because it actually shows the skills of the players rather than what the hell was going on the field prior to that. So I actually like that. It was kind of fun to watch. Anyway, Purdue and Wisconsin, major matchup. Number 2 against number 6. It's at Wisconsin, I believe. But obviously it means a lot when they're only a half a game away. So this is a big, big – and, you know, 3-3 on the road. Look at how many road – look at Nebraska, 1-5. 1-4, Michigan State. A lot of losing records. There's only 2 winning records on the road. And go figure, it's the top of the conference. So there's some interesting matchups here, though. But, you know, teams like Iowa, just on the lower half of the middle of the pack. Michigan State, Minnesota, finally they stopped the bleeding. They got a win at Penn State they haven't done in a long time. That's another little weird place to play that can cause upsets. But that was pretty good. Look at Minnesota, 2-3 on the road. I mean, golly, their thing is hitting free throws, and they finally hit them down the stretch. They made a hell of a run, dude. They were down, like, I want to say 15 at half. My Gophers ended up getting the job done. But, man, a lot of big games. I just mentioned Purdue, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and then Purdue, Wisconsin, my friend.
Purdue, Wisconsin is going to be fun. I need to see a little more of this Badger team. Because last year they were pedestrian, and obviously I know that my co-host is a Gopher fan. My best friend my best friend is a Badger fan just because in the March Madness trips we go on, some of the people on the trip played for Wisconsin. So and it's always kind of just an interesting middle standpoint for me. I've always kind of just liked them both. But hey, if you're Wisconsin, it would be another big win to have. And if you're Purdue, the few times I've seen Purdue play this year, Edie has been unstoppable, and the wings have helped carry him. It to me, it seems like this Purdue team is probably refocused this year. There's probably some big sign in that locker room that says, "Don't forget last year when you all got embarrassed as a number one seed." So I think there's kind of that extra motivational level which you've seen in college basketball that has led to a Gonzaga title making it to the Final Four, a Virginia title, a Carolina title. A lot of times in college basketball, when you choke a year prior, that next year you're on a war path. And this might be Purdue's war path this year. So, because, again, if you haven't seen Edie play, he's a very talented big. Obviously, he's got the height over almost anyone in the country. And he's good. He knows what to do. He has his little baby hooks, and his arms up in the lane cover up a lot of lanes. So he helps him out on defense. But this year, Chris, it just seems like the guards from when I've seen them play, they've looked hot. It seems like the guards just kind of know how to feed off him a little bit better this year. So when they travel to Madison, that's going to be a fun game to enjoy. Obviously, both these teams are looking right now for very good seeds. I don't think either of them are going to fall off the deep end or sink down to the middle. But speaking of the deep end of the Big Ten, this still has me surprised. Because last week I talked about how the middle of the Big Ten was a lot of teams who normally go to the March Madness. Now a lot of these teams have dropped down even more. Like Michigan, Rutgers, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, almost all of those teams pretty much consistently would be above a 50% chance currents of making to March Madness. And right now, none of those teams are making it, which is just hard to fathom. Again, Michigan has been...
I just want to make the NIT, for Christ's sakes, for my Gophers.
I can maybe say this out because it's January, Chris, but if I can't give the same speech in February. Dude, if you're in the bottom of, and I know, again, you can win a couple and sneak back up top, but the fact that the bottom half of the Big Ten right now is pretty much all teams that go to March Madness is bottom half. It's fun to see a flip of a conference. And if you are one of the teams I just said, your window's shrinking. Because pretty much in college basketball, as you know, you pretty much got to have 20 wins or so to make the tournament. That's pretty much a guarantee. It's not like a black and white.
Unless you had like an injury or something. You know?
Yeah. But you pretty much got to have 20 wins for sure. And for some of these teams, you're chilling at 12-8, 13-7, 10-9, 9-11. Like 20 wins, dude, that means you're going to have to almost go out at a 70 to 80% winning clip. So I know you don't want to freak out quite yet because we're in January. But once that calendar turns next month, it's really hard. It's especially hard to go like 10-2 in February or, you know, something like that. So the panic button's maybe not being hit yet, Chris, but someone's about to open up that little cover and that red button's about to start flashing. So again, I like seeing different teams up there like Northwestern, Nebraska, Maryland. Cool. But yeah, you got to get yourself on a hell of a run. And it's that panic button is about to get tapped, and it's surprising me just because the names are different, and that's all I'll say because I want to repeat myself again.
Heading on over to the SEC.
Ooh, this was a week.
This isn't football, but Bama's on top. They have 6-1 record, won back-to-back games. Not so good when it comes to the AP. In USA Today, 1-4 when it comes to that. But they're on top right now. They got that big win over Auburn. Auburn dropped down. Like you said, you lose two. Guess what? You drop down to fourth place. They're tied in basically a three-way tie with South Kakalaka, Auburn, and Kentucky. We talked about how Florida-Georgia, that shows you how important that game was for Florida to hold on to that. They're both sitting there 4-3. Big, big matchup, though. Big matchup. Tennessee in Kentucky. Kentucky's got to do it, man. They got to get this dub.
Yeah, Tennessee, again, you're doing what you do every single year. You have a badass regular season, and you go into the March Madness, you normally can't make it to the Sweet 16. Like, it'd be tough to be
in recent years. In recent years.
Because you're
remember they used to overachieve. Remember when they'd have mediocre years and all of a sudden you're like Elite Eight? What the hell are they doing here?
Yeah. As a Tennessee fan, your football team has disappointed you. Your basketball team for the last handful of years has a great regular season and you kind of have a tough March. So, you're right. That should be a fun one. Again, Kentucky right now is doing better than regularly expected. Normally, this is time of the year where Coach Cal says, you just give my guys some time. We're learning how to play." Well, you've kind of skipped that part. You're 5-2. You're ranked 10th. You're having a nice year. You've kind of maybe skipped the growing phase. Maybe you've done a better job of gelling your players together. And you went through a road test week where you lost one pretty embarrassingly. You got pushed by Arkansas and you held on for a one there. And now, yeah, you're just looking to go against Tennessee, which it wouldn't surprise me if Tennessee won. I think they're a little more of a veteran-based team. But, yeah, that should be a very fun weekend. Shit, last week Alabama wasn't ranked.
Right.
But there for the last few games. Hey, you beat Auburn, you beat LSU, and you did lose. Well, shit, Tennessee beat you by 20. So, man, the SEC, I feel that the Big 12 and the Big 10, there is a middle and a top of the conference, and I feel that middle and top is kind of like smeared together in a way. From what we've seen so far, Chris, I think that the SEC kind of has a top tier. I think there's kind of a little bit of a deeper drop than you've seen in the Big 12 or the Big 10. I feel like the Alabama, Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, And then there's a little bit of a drop-off. I think that's a bigger stretch than the Big 12 or the Big 10, where you can kind of see those middle teams are could still poke up to the top. I think that this one's a little more split up, which is normally, you know, it's normally how college basketball works. But I don't think that this tournament, or excuse me, that this conference will have as many teams making it to March just because it's a little more top-heavy. But those top four are four to five damn good teams.
And Kentucky, don't get caught peeking when you play the Florida Gators on Wednesday. You dare get caught peeking. I think that's a home game, so you should have your act together. But I don't know, man.
And that's always been ahead, a good rivalry.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. The peak ahead, they've been playing better. Three in a row. I mean, it's interesting. Heading on over to the Pac-12. At this point, it's the Pac-2. Now, they've kind of figured out basketball and their football schedule for next year. We'll see where they end up. You know, it does sound like they may keep that Pac-12 banner and then move the Mountain West into it ultimately. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. You know, you say, oh, Zona's on top. Obviously, that was a meaningful game because it's 6-3, both of them. You know, they dropped that game to Oregon State. But look at that, 6-4, 6-5. Look at the four. I mean, that is tied up with the four losses. You could go all the way down to Cal and UCLA. They're only two games out. It's pretty insane. And speaking of UCLA, UCLA is like a – UCLA, to a lesser extent, but still kind of head-scratcher, USC. Definitely both of those teams underachieving, especially UCLA, though, right now. They really – you said, you know, you got to get shit together. Well, they better get their shit together.
I think they've already hit the panic button. again, they had a nice little start to the Pac-12 conference play after a really rough kind of pre-conference season. But you're still floating, like you're still treading water in the deep end. Like that team, like I know in the Big Ten, you gotta like the panic button's about to get shown. Like UCLA, like dude, and it's so weird because that team has had some Final Four, like they've had some really good runs. It's just maybe just this isn't, you know, I don't know, this isn't the year. Like hell, Carolina had that really nice Final Four run, held the championship run. The next year they were sluggish. Now they're back on top. So maybe it will be just one year where UCLA, hey, this is an off year. Like those do happen. They don't seem to ever happen for like, you know, Alabama with Nick Saban. But besides most teams in college or football or college basketball, sometimes you have a down year. Those do occur. But it is rare, like you said, Chris, see them that far down. Because if you watch them play, the talent is still on the court. There's no lack of ability, but you guys are creeping away up. And like I said, if you want to make March Madness, you need to pretty much have 20 wins. They're 9-11. So they're not a conference one.
They may have to win the Pac-12 championship, dude.
Yeah. And for the teams who are just kind of nice surprise stories, I guarantee Washington State was not predicted to finish this high right now. Hey, right now you're in second place by a half game. And Colorado.
They've looked better. Yeah, they're looking pretty good, actually.
They're fun to watch. I watched them at the start of the year in one of their non-conference tournaments. Offensively, they're gifted. And they got that really nice center from TCU, Lumpkin, who, again, Colorado's got pieces. I need
Did
to see
Dion
the conference
help with
play.
That transfer? I'm sure.
I think it might maybe toss a little NIL money in there. But I will say, hey, they're 1-5 on the road. If you want to be good in college basketball, you don't got to be above 500, but you got to have a chance. Like 1-5 on the road tells me you're growing, but you got to again 3-4, 2-6, but something. But that one is like you're still putting the pieces together that, like, for example, Arizona 3-3, Oregon 3-2, Washington State 2-3, Arizona State 2-4. You need to get a few more gutsy wins, and then right. I think that will help build the DNA up for you. But yeah, you're right, dude. That it's a massive log jam.
It's gonna be it may not be great or whatever, but it's gonna be fun to watch. That's for
Amen.
Sure how it plays
Amen.
Out. I wanted to give some love to the AAC, okay? FAU, obviously, right there at the tippy top, tied
Final Four pick
with Charlotte, UAB, Memphis was 4-0. Now they've lost three in a row. But USF, UAB, even North Texas. And then for the Atlantic 10, Richmond and Dayton are the ones that I definitely would highlight there as far as the mid-majors go. I just won't, you know, I wanted to give a little love to other mid-majors as well before we land on the best mid-major, which we found out last year.
Amen.
Conference. Once again, I mean, look at Wyoming at 4-3. That's kind of a surprise. Colorado State was ranked no longer. They had a little rough one there. New Mexico's getting their stuff together. They've won five in a row now. And in this conference, Boise State on Wednesday, Boise State at New Mexico. And on Tuesday, San Diego State at Colorado State. So that's definitely some meaningful games beyond what we already got here. But, you know, New Mexico, man, they're starting to really figure it out. Now, all of their – I think they have four quality wins. All of them are at home. So, you know, you're just talking about how you got to step up and get some nice road victories in there. But they got a roster, man. They're damn good. They're good. Like I said, that second – I mean, they were already – kicking Nevada's ass, but that second half they tore them up, 89-55. They got a game against Boise State at Wyoming, which, you know, is not that easy. UNLV, another San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State, Utah State to close. So there's plenty on their plate there to get more quality wins and to stay consistent. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it right now, you know, anything can happen, obviously, but just looking at it right now, that matchup to close the season could be an interesting one with New Mexico and Utah State, my friend.
Well, I mean, the fact Mashburn has, like, NBA G League potential, and so does Jaylene House. Like, the fact that you have two guys in your backcourt who could one day be in the NBA or be in the G League, that's all you got to know. Like, if that team can get it together, and like you said, not collapse like they did end of last year, on any given day in college basketball, if you have two guys who have NBA potential careers, you have a chance to win any game. And Mashburn he had a hell of a year last year. He's having a pretty good year again this year. So I think that alone is one reason why you have to look out for that team this year. I cannot speak for all the other teams in the Mountain West, but I don't think many of them have a future potential NBA backcourt. So again, does that give you everything? No, because last year they didn't make the tournament. So it's not perfect, but the skill set's there, and I think maybe last year was a growing point, and they're obviously having a little better year right now so far as they did last year. So I know you love talking about the conference because they play good basketball, and not a lot of people know about them because there's not that East Coast love, but it's a good conference of basketball, and they're a fun team to watch, and it wouldn't surprise me when they make a run just because the potential's there, and I hope they put it together this year.
All right, let's finish it off strong here, my friend.
So last week was a nice victory in the crappy pick of the week. The Florida A&M Rattlers said, "Hey, Chris, we got your back. No big deal." 81-7.
Gonna rattle it out
over the Mississippi State, Mississippi Valley State Delta Devils. God, that's a hard one to say.
Sorry, but Deacon and Jerry.
Yeah, the Jerry Rice team night didn't play it out so well, so it is what it is. The boys are hot. We're 1-1. And with that being said, we're going to stick to our Monday night deal. This game tips off in an hour. Yet again, not on ESPN+. But
where are we at? What division?
We are in the MEAC. The MEAC Conference. MEAC.
Okay.
MEAC. All right, yeah. These are where the true hoopers go to play.
Yes, sir.
This game is taking place in Princess Anne, Maryland. I feel there's like a British royalty background to this game. I'm not sure. I've never heard of Princess Anne, Maryland.
Makes sense for that part of the East Coast, you know?
Yeah, so I guess maybe Meghan Markle's going to throw the tip up to start off the game. There could be some royalty. Her and Harry are there to support. I don't know. I'm just trying. It's at the High Teach Athletic Center. There's a lot of weird names here going on. But South Carolina State is 6-14 on the year, 2-2 in the MEAC. They're taking on the Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks. So you got the Shore Hawks, and you're playing against, you know, some true hoopers. So, Chris, This is a MEAC huge game. Both these teams are trying to not hit the panic button either and, you know, work their way back up standing. So you have the Bulldogs against the Shorehawks. This game tips off in about an hour. I'm hoping that we stay hot. And just so you know, from a gambling perspective, this game is a 1.5 point spread. The South Carolina State boys.
Are you gonna let me break down some of it, or just go the whole time?
They're a 1.5 point favorite. So take it away, brother.
So man, yeah, this is I like the names, no doubt about it. South Carolina State Bulldogs. A lot of Bulldogs in South Carolina, I heard. You know, they're on the road though. You know what I mean? They're on a 2-game winning streak though. Okay.
Ooh.
And they put up almost 10 points a game more than, this one's tough, than the Maryland Eastern Shore. I can see the Hawks make sense. Anytime you're by a shore, you're going to have some Eagles or Hawks or something like that. And, you know, they don't, they're 1-1 lately. They got a dub versus Queen. Yeah, I said it. At home, they got a win against Queen College. They had some overtime games, two of them recently, so they've been grinding it out, okay? They don't shoot the ball all that well. They don't rebound. Basically, the stats tell you to go with the road team. But, you know, back-to-back road teams, my friend, I got to start giving some love to the home team. Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks are going to swoop up. And, you know, the little baby Bulldogs, they're going to swoop up from the – they're going to grab from the – you know, they're going to be hunted. And they're going to grab the little Bulldog. Okay, that's kind of mean. That's kind of mean, so I won't go there.
We don't want PETA coming after us.
Yeah, they've been just grinding, dude. They've been in overtime games. Yeah, they don't have that impressive stretch of 2 games in a row, wins. But still, I like what I see out of this team that I'm not going to be able to watch. So, yeah, I like it. Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks, and I cannot wait. You know, the thing is, there's some old-school college football stuff that sneaks up on you. So let's hear what this is made of, my friend.
Oh, for the alumni, this is the first time I've ever done alumni not knowing a single person on the list of the alumni.
I got some years on you, so I might have to help.
All right, see. So for Maryland Eastern Shore famous alumni, the first football name they show is Emerson Boozer. Art Shell. Art Shell was a former Raiders head coach.
Yep.
RIP, I believe. Yes. Okay. Johnny Sample. Never heard of him. Charlie Stukes. Man, this is tough.
Charlie Stukes, anything else information about the guy?
Charlie Stukes, he's got pictured in a Colts jersey.
Okay.
Earl Christie, a baseball player named Ira Smith. Hoover J. Wright looks like a political figure picture.
Okay, I've heard of him. Yeah.
Okay. And then in the fourth row, Chris, for the famous alumni, it just shows you pictures of people in their Hawks jerseys. It's just the female basketball team. So
okay.
Ariana Sewell and Zamara Haynes, I'm sure you're great hoopers, but I've never heard of you.
Let's see the comp. Right.
Okay. So South Carolina State famous alumni. Jim Clyburn looks like that's a political figures picture. Andrew Eugene Jr. Raphael Bush. Man.
This might be the first draw, dude.
Yeah, I did see Armstrong Williams looks like Willie Akins was a Kansas City Royal.
Okay. I've heard of that name. But yeah, okay. Wow. This one is bad, man.
Yeah, this one, I don't know. Well, let's see in the bottom row here. Deacon Jones. I thought Deacon Jones was last week, too. Deacon Jones. Huh. Deacon Jones.
He's transferred. He's the one who started the transfer portal.
Yeah. Okay, so Deacon Jones is the one guy I know from either school. Shaq Leonard. Okay, that's a Colts linebacker. I actually know that name. And Javon Hargrave, a Pittsburgh Steelers linemen.
I knew it. I knew there was something in there.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
They got the dub.
South Carolina State alumni barely wins the battle. Thank God, because the Eastern Shorehawks, I was struggling, Chris. As the guy that I think I'm a slightly cultured person, I didn't know a single person on that list. So thank you, South Carolina State, for coming in and helping the boys out. So on that note, hey, this Saturday, from when you wake up in the morning to when you go to sleep at night, there's good college basketball on the whole day. And Carolina Duke's at 5:30. I will not miss that. I will be ready to talk about the game or see if my co-host forgets if the outcome does not go the way I want. But he never seems to forget. It's like, oh, hey, Marshall, how's it going? Oh, by the way, Carolina Duke score. How? What? What? I'm like, oh, damn. All right, I got you, Chris. So that's always a fun one to break down. The boys will be back tonight. The boys are out tonight.
We'll be back
appreciate
next
your support.
Thursday, by the way. New time for a while. New night. Thursday
back
night.
Next Thursday. So that'll give you time to recover from Carolina, better or worse. We love y'all. We're out. Have a good night. Peace.